So tonight's topic we are calling priorities among different stuckas. For example, last week we mentioned that there are priorities in terms of whom I give tzedakah to, right? That basically my own relatives come first, right? Kia b'cha evyon, that the din is first I come and then the closer relatives, etc. That was last week's topic. But tonight, our focus is not on the individual who's giving tzedakah, but the focus is more, and this is phrased in Shulchan Aruch way, on the gabbai tzedakah. In other words, if I, which I am, I'm entrusted with money that people give me to distribute, and then I have a lot of different competing needs that come to me. Now, this is also true about the individual, but for the individual, right, really the focus is relatives first. But for the gabbai tzedakah, the person who has lots of tzedakah money of lots of different people, so the gabbai tzedakah is sometimes confronted with a difficult question. The question is, well, I have pidyon shavuyim, right? There are people who are captives, and you see all of these things on the yeshivaworld.com about buy this guy out, pidyon shavuyim, biggest mitzvah in the Torah, amazing, right? There's pidyon shavuyim. And there is this hachnasas kala. You know, people come around with these beautiful laminated sheets signed by a million rabbanim who I never heard of, right? And they're all saying, oh, give to me. I'm a legitimate tzedakah collector. What are you collecting for? I'm collecting for hachnasas kala, right? I'm collecting for a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I'm collecting for a shul. I'm collecting for a mikvah. How are we supposed to balance all of the different competing tzedakahs that come to our attention? How exactly do you make a determination as to which tzedakah is more worthy than others? Where do I give my money? So for the individual, though, the way the halacha views it, I think, is that it's not based on the particular need as much as it's based on my relationship with that person. Right? If I have a brother who is an ani, I give the money to my brother ahead of the yeshiva and the mikvah and etc. Right? Because for my purpose as an individual, so we assume that hakarav kodem. But when it comes to the gabbai tzedakah, and this din, by the way, if you look in the second source, it says hachnasas kala, on the sheet it says gabbai tzedakah, who has money. Right? Until now, in Simin Reish Mem Tes, all of the se'ifim are talking about the individual who's giving tzedakah. From here on, we are talking about a gabbai tzedakah. When it comes to the gabbai tzedakah, distributing his tzedakah money, so then the halacha is that what we'll be discussing tonight, and what we will try to do is as follows. We are going to try to look at each particular tzedakah on its own, and at the same time try to come up with a priority scheme, a hierarchy, which tzedakahs trump which. Okay, that's the agenda for tonight. This is hard. We'll do the best we can. Good? Now, I should point out a diuk that the Chofetz Chaim has from Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the first source, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was mitzta'er, Rabbi Shahaya mitzta'er shenasam pito la'am ha'aretz. Right, once upon a time, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi gave bread to a fellow who was an Am Ha'aretz. And it bothered Rebbe. How come I gave my money, my bread, to an Am Ha'aretz? Why was Rebbe bothered about that? Mishum dehayu shnei betzores, u'mashaya ochel Am Ha'aretz, yechzer l'talmud chacham. Halav hachi chayev l'hachayoso. In other words, the only reason why Rebbe was bothered, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is because this is a time of famine. In other words, everyone is suffering, and Rebbe felt I could have given the same piece of bread to a Talmud Chacham instead of an Am Ha'aretz. In other words, everyone is suffering, nobody has what to eat, it's Shnei Betzores, so effectively there are two people who I could give the tzedakah to, the Talmud Chacham and the Am Ha'aretz. It bothered Rebbe, Nebuch, I gave my money to an Am Ha'aretz. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, this is based on the Gemara in Bava Basra. Good? Obviously the case is that no one is dying, but they're just hungry. Good. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Chafetz Chaim is medayik from this. What? Or they're both dying. Well, if they're both dying, you give whoever comes first, I think. Right? Whoever comes first, then you have the first mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh. But the fact is that if no one is dying, so what I should do is save my money for the bigger, better tzedakah later on. Even though the Talmud Chacham is not here, right? There's an Amah Oretz who walks over to you and says, right, give me money. So you look at him and say, I'm sorry, but there's a Talmud Chacham who I'm going to meet in an hour and I'll give him the money. That's really what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right, was supposed to do. In other words, Zok the Chafetz Chaim, you see from here that you are supposed to give your money. And by the way, we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who presumably is not acting as an individual. Right? That's also, although this point we could actually debate, but he's giving out tzedakah money, and he's supposed to give the money to the bigger, better tzedakah, to the Talmud Chacham, rather than the Am HaAretz. So far, so good? So now, let's talk about each tzedakah on its own, and then as we go through it, we will hopefully come up with a hierarchy, we'll come up with a structure. What's the status of Hachnasas Kala? What type of tzedakah is Hachnasas Kala? So Shulchan Aruch writes an interesting thing, no? Gabai tzedakah has money of tzedakah, yasiu bahem besulos aniyos. You should marry off besulos, a young woman who's aniyos, who is poor. She'ein tzedakah gedola mizu. No? So Hachnasas Kala seems to be the best one. Right? Correct. Everyone see that? Ein tzedakah gedola mizu, greatest tzedakah. The sheets go in the wrong order. It goes from left to right instead of right to left. Oh, no, it goes right order. Okay, whatever. Fine. But ein tzedakah gedola mizu, he's saying that what we would call hachnasas kala is the best tzedakah. That as I state, yeah.
How do you define hachnasas kala? What does that mean?
Okay, so how do we define Hachnasas Kala? What does it mean? So Shulchan Aruch talks about marrying off a besula aniya, a poor girl who was never married before. The Gra quotes that the makar for this, the Gra always gives us a source of the halacha, is a Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis is talking about marrying off a yasom. Meaning to say, we are talking about Hachnasas Kala for someone who is an orphan, someone who does not have a parent to marry them off. So far, so good? Zok the Shach here, quoting the Tshuva the Maharam al Shakar, right? I didn't print out the Shach, but Sifkat Yud Aleph. The Shach says, I am Misufik. I'm not sure that maybe if the girl has a father, and the father can't afford the wedding, maybe there is no din of Hachnasas Kala. A suffix in the Shach, no? Because since the source in the Gemara is only a Yasim, right? And that's what the Gra quotes, the Maharam al Shakar entertains the possibility, and he leaves it Betzorech Iyun, that maybe there is no mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala if the girl has a father. In other words, the idea of Hachnasas Kala is that a parent has certain responsibilities to the children. Mishnah and Kedushin, Daf Chav Tes. Ha'av Chayiv, right, to marry the kids off. No? That's the mitzvah. You have to marry the kids off. Okay. So if I don't have a father, Nebuch, to marry me off, so then there's a mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala. But if you do have a father, even if daddy can't afford it, so daddy should be marrying you off. How do you make the wedding? I don't know. Borrow, steal. That's not my business, right? But Lamaisa, I didn't mean that. But Lamaisa, right? Lamaisa, right? There might not be a mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala in this case. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, disagrees with Halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins that the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala even applies to someone who has a parent. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says. And his lashon is, the expression that he gives, is because the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala is HaMitzvah L'Sameach L'Olam Nefashos Agumos. The mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala is to bring joy to the Seyar Neshamas. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Reb Fivel Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan understands that what the Aruch HaShulchan means by HaMitzvah L'Sameach La'olam Nefashos Agumos, what he means is as follows. If I have a poor person, and the fellow needs a klein shtickel of bread, he needs a little bit of bread. So he gets the bread, he eats it, he's happy for a minute, and then the joy dissipates. But if you make a good shidduch for somebody, it's HaMitzvah L'Sameach La'olam, right? That the joy lasts forever. No? You're always getting the people mamish in the good marriage, it's like in Hollywood. No, they're smiling the whole time. It's amazing. It's great. They're always happy. Right? So that's what Reb Fivel Cohen understands the Aruch HaShulchan means. But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to side that the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala applies even if they have a parent, because according to him, the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala isn't to provide the mitzvah of marriage, right, which is what the Maharam al-Shakar is entertaining. Rather, the mitzvah is to provide joy, HaMitzvah L'Sameach L'Olam Nefashos Agumos, to provide joy to sad people. Yeah?
What would be the parameters of this? Perhaps 800 people
waiting in attendees, or just set them up for appointments? So, the mitzvah is whatever is necessary to get them married, but not lavish. In other words, let's be honest. There are wedding calls in Lakewood that you could get married for $12 a person. No? Do it. Right? Hachnosis Kala to make a fancy wedding in... That's not Hachnosis Kala. Right? We're going to be discussing this idea in Stukas as we move on tonight a few other times. All of the mitzvahs that we're addressing, L'cha'ora, are the bare skeletal mitzvahs. Get them married. Now, to get married, you need an apartment, no? Okay. Well, who says the apartment has to be a D-ring Yerushalayim that costs, right? I think the Ger Reb a few years ago made a cheirim that they shouldn't, that the Shver isn't allowed to buy apartments in Yerushalayim. They had to move to Ashdod because apartments in Yerushalayim were too high. In other words, you have to... okay, fine. That's not so relevant for our community, but we understand the point. Yeah, question.
Yes, so we need to talk about Tassos, but when the Jewish Observer used to exist, so they
printed all of the takanos about weddings, etc. However, if the tape wouldn't be on, I'd tell you a story, but since the tape is on, I'm not going to tell you a story. Fine.
What?
Nah. But afterwards, if you're nice, I'll tell you something. So the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala, right, is a mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch writes that Hachnasas Kala is Ein Luchat Stukah Gedola Mizu, but the dirty little secret is we're going to see Hachnasas Kala is actually pretty low on the totem pole. Okay? It says Ein Luchat Mitzvah Gedola Mizu. Unclear exactly what it means, Lamaisa, but when we get to our conclusion, Hachnasas Kala is not going to be a very high priority. Let's talk about other things that are considered stucca, colloquially, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. Is giving money to the shul, is that stucca? Okay? So is giving money to the shul stucca? Is giving money so that people can study Torah, is that considered stucca? Is giving money to the local Jewish hospital, is that considered stucca? Right, all of these things are questions that have to be asked, and the answer is yes, yes, and yes. Right, the shul is tzedakah, Talmud Torah is tzedakah, the hospital is tzedakah, but we got to figure out the pecking order among these. And Shulchan Aruch has a comment, and the Gra disagrees with Shulchan Aruch. So let's learn. Yesh Misha Omer. Whenever the Mechaber quotes an expression, Yesh Misha Omer, that means he found it in only a single source. It does not mean that there are Cholkim necessarily. It doesn't mean that there are those who disagree, but it means that it comes from a single source. This comes from a Tshuva of the Maharik. Fine. So the Maharik writes, Yesh Misha Omer, Shem Mitzvahs Beis Knesses Adifa Mi Mitzvahs Tzedakah. Okay? That means as follows. It is preferred to give money to your shul rather than giving money to poor people. Beis Knesses is Adifa Mi Mitzvahs Tzedakah. So far, so good? And then, U'mitzvahs Tzedakah La'ne'orim Lumod Torah O'lecholim Aniyim Adif Mi Mitzvahs Beis Knesses. And to give money to young people to learn Torah, Lena'orim, young people to learn Torah, or to give money to sick people. I would assume that giving to hospitals counts, but to give money to sick people, or to give money to Hatzalah, no? Right? L'cha'ora, Hatzalah certainly falls into that category. So that is better than Beis Knesset. So according to the Mechaber here, the pecking order is, we have three tzedakas, right? The three tzedakas are regular tzedakah, giving money to poor people. That is the lowest. Better than giving money to poor people is Beis Knesset, is giving money to a shul. And better than that is giving money to Talmud Torah or Cholim. He doesn't tell us between Talmud Torah and Cholim which one is better. No? He kind of puts Talmud Torah and Cholim together. Cholim aniyim, right? Poor people, indigent care in the hospital. Right? If I give money to the hospital so that they can care for people who otherwise couldn't pay the bill. Anochanami. Yeah. Question. Now, again, I should say it like this. We're talking about the Gavai Tzedakah, okay? I have X number of dollars in my Tzedakah account now to give, right? How do I divide that money up? Now, again, I should also point out that every Tzedakah account can be earmarked, right? And the Nosein has a right to say, right? My father used to hate this. My father worked his entire life in the Federation movement. He used to hate what was called earmarked giving because it drives the Federation's bananas. And it makes life difficult for me also. Right? If someone gives me a check and says, I only want you to give the money to Aniye Ircha. So I have to make a cheshbon and say, oh, this money is not going to go to the hospital. It's not going to go to, right? It's only going to go to poor, to Baruch Hashem. Whatever. We have enough local poor people. We could give the money to them also. But people have a right to earmark gifts. Maybe we'll talk about that next week in terms of what the source of that is. This din is talking about the Gabbai. These dinim, again, the way I understand it is, if you look in Simon Reish Mem Tes, the first 13 or 14 se'ifim are all about priorities an individual has for tzedakah. But afterwards, once you talk about hachnasas kala and beis knesses, etc., so then we are talking about, it's all a hemshach. This is all from the same maharik. Sif, Tes Vav and Tes Zayin is all from the same Maharik. And the Maharik is telling me the pecking order is Tzedakah, lowest. Shol, and on top of Shol is Talmud Torah / Cholam. That's the way Maharik says. Vilna Gaon, Elijah Kramer died in 1797, was born in 1720. Good? Right? So the Gra says that the source of this is a Yerushalmi. He tells us that the Yerushalmi is in the end of Peah and the end of the fifth perek of Shkolim. Let's just read it inside very quickly. Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, Reb Hoshaya, Rabba, Hava Metailin, Be'ilain, Knishta Delold. Right? So Reb Chama, the son of Reb Chanina, Reb Hoshaya, the great Reb Hoshaya, are taking a walk in the Beis Knesses in the Shul of Lod. Amalei, Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, Reb Hoshaya, Rabba, Kama Mamon, Shoko Avotai Kan. How much money did they invest in the shul? Say, Mamish, it's Iber far besser than far putzt. You look at it and it's beautiful. There are marble columns. And it's gewaldic. Right? So, kama mamoin shakwav osaikan. They spent so much money here. So, Amarle, he responded, kama nefashos ibdu avosechakan. How many people were buried here? How many people died here? Milo havu barnash diyalun be'oiraisa. There's no person who could learn Torah. In other words, the conversation goes like this. They look at a beautiful show and they say, Mamish, oh, Azad Kiddush Hashem, they spend so much money on a beautiful show. So the responsible Hoshaya Rabba says, why are they spending money on the show? Give money, me leka barnash the yilam by Raisa. There's nobody who could learn Torah. Why are you spending so much money on the show? Spend money on the Lima Torah. And then there, Yerushalmi in Shkolim has the same story with an addition. So the basic idea of this story, the Maharik says, is one second, they're discussing what's better, Shul or Torah. What about Aniyim? What about giving money to poor people? Zetmin Fundan, I see that poor people don't register. That poor people is a low priority at tzedakah. That's basically what the Gra is, right, quoting from the Yerushalmi, which is the source of this din. So far, so good? But the Gra himself disagrees la halacha about the first point of this mechaper. Okay, let's go slowly. We're assuming that the pecking order is what Shulchan Aruch says: lowest level tzedakah for poor people. After tzedakah for poor people comes shul. After higher than shul, right, is Talmud Torah and sick people. Right, that's what we're assuming. The Gra is going to say that shul is a lower level priority than poor people. No? Is a lower level. Here, let's look at the last line in the Gra. He writes, "Ve'eno muchrach." Eno muchrach is a Gra way of saying you're wrong. Eno muchrach. Ve'koshi came the girsa shalanu. There are two different girsots in Yerushalmi. Fine. But I entices in Baba Basa tes amir aleph dima maser shenemar. Koshi came the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, let's go slowly. The Gemara says that there is a bare minimum of tzedakah every year. Right? How much you got to give for tzedakah every year, no matter how poor you are. You could mamish be a church mouse. The bare minimum, we mentioned it last week, is shlishis hashekel l'shana, a third of a shekel a year, which, by the way, ends up being, what did he say, around $3.50 a year. That's a bare minimum of tzedakah. The Magen Avraham and the Shach both write that when you give a tiny little coin at Shachris every day over the course of the year, it equals your $3.50 your yotze. That's the bare minimum of tzedakah. Every Jew, just like, right, there are certain mitzvahs everyone has to do, no? No, you pick a mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs everybody has to do. One of them is tzedakah, but tzedakah means give a shlishis hashekel l'shana. Now, how do I know you have to give a shlishis hashekel l'shana? How do you know? So, it says in the Gemara that we learned it from a pasuk in Ezra, that Ezra said that you should give a shlishis hashekel for the Beis Elokim. No? Give a third of a shekel for the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos says, well, kol shekein for aniyim. No? That's what Tosfos is saying. If you have to give a third of a shekel for the Beis HaMikdash, and shul for us is like the same as the Beis HaMikdash, but Tosfos' expression is kol shekein, the poor people, you have to give a third of a shekel a year for it. Right? Zok the Gra, I see from Tosfos that giving to poor people is a higher priority than giving to the shul. So according to the Gra, the priority list would be that shul is at the bottom. Please don't tell the board that I'm saying this. Right? Shul, right? Followed by poor people, more important. Again, this is only for me and my tzedakah fund. Shul, followed by poor people, followed by, right, Talmud Torah is the best. No one is disagreeing that Talmud Torah or the Cholim Aniyim is the highest priority. No one is disagreeing with that. Even the Gra is only disagreeing about the first stage in this Mechaber. La Halacha, I don't know a Hachra'a in this Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Gra. That's whether the Beis Knesses is a higher priority than Aniyim, whether Aniyim is a higher priority than Beis Knesses. I don't know. I don't know any Hachra'a. Reb Feivel Cohen doesn't... He doesn't conclude on this question, but it's something that's worth discussing. Now, question. Is the mitzvah, should I be giving money to a kollel or should I be giving money to an elementary school? Right? It's a fair question. So let's talk about that right now. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the highest order so far, no? Talmud Torah, again, we don't know exactly how Achnasas Kala factors in. We'll have to plug that in at the end. But of these three things in this sif, Talmud Torah, everyone agrees, is the highest. Talmud Torah or Cholam Aniyim is certainly the highest. But what is Talmud Torah? It says Talmud Torah is tzedakah l'na'orim l'mo Torah. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, where Rav Moshe quotes that what's better? Is it better to give tzedakah to young people, to tinoko shobeis rabban, or to give tzedakah to talmidei chachamim gedolim? To, you know, There's a place on the Lower East Side, they call it the home of the sages. It's an old age home. They have the best pictures. I always imagine that that's like, you know, you have a place, you have these 90-year-old Talmid Chachamim, you know, sitting around the kolo. I always imagine it's like that. Fine. So the fact is, which one is better? So the fellow who asked the question, Rabbi Yochum Dvorkis, point out there's a certain steer in Shulchan Aruch, because Abaye says in the Gemara that Eino Doma Hevel Sheyesh Bo Chet La Hevel Sheim Bo Chet. The Talmud Torah of young kids is very pure. It's pure Talmud Torah. Like sometimes you walk in the halls of Breuer's and elementary school and you hear the kids chanting Chumash and it's beautiful. I have to admit, like when I was in Yerushalayim recently, I passed by the Zilberstein school. There's a tune that it's very, very beautiful. What? But it's like it's much better Kol Torah to my ears than I like walking into, let's say, a Beis Medrash in YU and you hear the guys. But it's a much more beautiful Kol Torah you hear the kids, and that's Hevel She'ein Bo Chet, right? And that would be even greater than Gedolei Olam. But the question is, but don't we say that Ohev Hashem Sha'arim HaMetsuyanim BaHalacha Yosei Mibatei Midrashos? Don't we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Sha'arim Metsuyanim BaHalacha? God loves those who are studying Halacha to Paskin Shailas, which is Torah in a very high level. So this is a stira, this is the contradiction that they asked. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't think there's a stira. Devadai lahashar alma rak belimud tinoko shabbe yisram av shegedolim ma'odhi yehevo she'en bochet odi palim yishal tamid chochem gedolim shula hora du'a echa me'ela sho'av al kadosh baruch yosi mikol u'bil adai zem mishtaka tar miyisrael ashu alofim hamirubim ba'olam shohigilu ma'jer gezua v'kshish ba'alma gedoi lahora ikamal tinoko shabbe yisram shehevo shalem e'en bochet. Basically, Rav Moshe is saying that it depends. If you're supporting the guy who's potentially the Gadol Hadar, so then that has the priority in terms of supporting Torah. But if the Gadol Hadar is getting supported anyway, so then the priority should be Ne'orim Ketanim. I have to admit, people make a mistake, no? It's very, pardon the expression, like sexy to support like a kollel, to support, right? These are like high. My mother-in-law is the principal of a girls' high school in Brooklyn. Now, she has a very hard time fundraising. I hope like people listen to this tape and give money, right? She has a very hard time fundraising because it's not an in tzedakah. Chinuch for girls is much less valued by the Baalei Tzedakah than chinuch for guys in general, right? That's the reality. And everyone, no one wants to give to high school. You want to give to a Beis Medrash, a Kayalala, right? The higher, the better. But the fact is, a simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that the real mitzvah tzedakah is for Ne'arim, right? Yes, you have a mitzvah to support the greatest ones, but if they're already being supported, and trust me, without my tzedakah fund, right, whoever the Posek Hadar is being supported without my tzedakah fund. So if that's the case, so my tzedakah fund should go to Ne'arim Ketanim Olmo Torah. I think that what emerges based on the psak of Rav Moshe, Rav Yehuda Asud, who actually was one of the opponents of Rabina Hirsch in Moravia. So Rav Yehuda Asud, in his Chuvas Yehuda Ya'ale, he paskins that you always give to Ne'arim Ketanim ahead of, what's it called? Ahead of Big Talmidei Chachamim. I think that's the way the din seems to emerge. Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about Hevel She'ein Bo Chet, Hevel She'ein Bo Chet is elementary school. Once they're in high school, they have avedus.
But the younger you are, the better you are. No. What?
So some posting assume it goes until the age of 20. It's considered Ein Bo Chet until the time that you are punished in Beis Din Shomayla.
In Rav Bloy's Sefer, in the Tzedakah U'Mishpat, he deals with that idea. Okay, I mean, these are like the nitty-gritty details, which are interesting, but fine. So these are aspects of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Now, what's better, Talmud Torah or Cholem? Should I give my money to Hatzolah, assuming Hatzolah can't function without it, if it's going to Aniyim, Cholam Aniyim, or do I give money for Talmud Torah? So this is not clear from Shulchan Aruch at all. If you look in the Stei Chemer, volume 1, page 164. So the Shtei Chemin, is like an encyclopedia. He was a mashulach for yeshivas and etzos. So he walked around, he like shared Torah. He's like, you give me a few $1,000, I'll give you Torah ideas. That's basically, I think, the way the deal worked. So the Shtei Chemin discussed it with everybody. Many poskim felt that the preferred staka is for the cholem, for the hospital, rather than the Talmud Torah. The reason for that is because a hospital is potentially pikuach nefesh. Right? People could die. So if people could possibly die, so then, right, lemaisa, that trumps everything. And that's another basic principle that we all knew before we came in. Pikuach nefesh trumps everything. And therefore, the highest stucca that we'll discuss for sure, without any question, is pidyon shvuyim. Because pinyon shvuyim, again, assuming we are in a non-democratic country, pinyon shvuyim means possible pikuach nefesh, no? Gilad Shalit could have been killed very easily, no? Right? The real pinyon shvuyim, for sure. The question is whether pinyon shvuyim exists in a democracy or not. I gave a share about that here in the show like 4 years ago. You could hear it online. But the fact is, Pidyon Shavuyim, Pekuach Nefesh trumps. Hospitals are potential Pekuach Nefesh. If the person is so hungry that he might die if I don't give him the bread, there's potential Pekuach Nefesh. That's obviously the highest level of stucca. Nothing to talk about that. Right beneath that would seem to come Talmud Torah, or hospitals we're putting as part of the Pekuach Nefesh. So Pekuach Nefesh, Pidyon Shavuyim, hospitals, A1. Beneath that A level is Talmud Torah. Beneath that, according to the Mechaber, would be Shul, and beneath that is poor people. The Gra would flip those last two. That's what we have so far. Where does Hachnasas Kala come in? Not abundantly clear. Most assume that Hachnasas Kala is above giving to poor people, but beneath the Shul. Again, in the Mechaber world. In the Mechaber world, that Shul is above poor people. Hachnasas Kala is sandwiched between Shul and... I think that's the simple meaning. Okay, now what about other quote-unquote stuckas? Is giving money to the local mikvah, is that a stucka? Sounds good, no? Let's say I don't use the mikvah. Let's say I am single. Should I donate to the local mikvah if I'm single? Okay, I hope the people in Breuer's thank me for this. But the answer is yes. Not only yes, it's beferish in Shulchan Aruch that... They're adinim. Again, now we're talking about giving money to mikvah, to teachers. Oh, giving money to the rabbi. Okay, we'll talk about that also. Giving money to the chazan. Which one has priority? Let's just go very, very quick. It says in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Samach Gimel, B'makom Shnei Ha'ir, Moshim B'neihem Melamed Tinokus. If you have a local school, V'ein Avim Shatinokus Yochol Luskar L'bneihem, and there are people who have to be on scholarship, they can't pay the school tuition. Right? So the kehila has to keep the school going, even though their people can't pay the tuition. Now, the tuition doesn't meet all the needs. So goyven lefi mamon. We collect lefi mamon. That means as follows, that the rich people give more, the poor people give less. That's the din of goyven lefi mamon. The school should be collected lefi mamon. That's generally the way it works in our communities. Know that the Ashirim in town, unfortunately, we don't have as many as some other communities, but the Ashirim have a bigger responsibility, pay more. V'chein b'schar hachazen. V'chazen also, you are gove lefi mamon. And he gives you a source in Shulchan Aruch. V'chein binyin b'es hakneses, goivin lefi mamon. You build a building, no? You have an edifice complex, so you build a building, so what do? Govin lefi mamon. You collect according to the wealthy people. Next, kol tzarchei ha'ir. Any city need. Apal pisha miktsason einon srichen. Even though there's some people who do not need it. For example, beis chasnus, a wedding call. It's a community need. Some people don't need it. Some people already married. Right? Shoin farlopt. Right? I don't need it. Or mikvah. I don't need the mikvah. Why not? I don't need the mikvah. Right? Still, you still have to pay a portion. You don't need it, you have to pay in. The later poskim say this applies to the community Eruv as well. I don't use the Eruv. Why don't I use the Eruv? Because I'm super ultra orthodox, whatever. I don't use the Eruv. Still, the Achrayinim say you should be Tzrichin Litein Chalkon, everyone should pay their portion, even if I don't use it. Why? Why did I have to pay? I'll take your question in a second. Why did I pay if I don't use it? The answer is, Zogt Rav Shechter in his Sefer Ginas Egos, that this din is not a regular din of tzedakah. This is a din of shutfis. I'm a partner. I move into a town. I am a shutif in all of the things that go on in town. That's the din. Usually to become a shutif, I have to buy in. No? Me and you were partners. Why? Because I bought part of your business. But there's another type of shutfis that I'm not buying in. There's another type of shutfis that it happens automatically. How does it happen automatically? I live in town, so memela I'm a shutif. And Shulchan Aruch defines I'm a shutif, even the miyot can force the rove. Rove people in town say, we don't need a mikvah. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a mikvah is a real community need, and the miyot, right? Let's say you have a community, hypothetically, that the majority are singles. Hypothetically, right? Most people don't need the mikvah. Still, the miyot can be kofa the merubim to chip in because it's a genuine, legitimate community need. That is a mikvah, that is Erev. These are genuine community needs. Right, the later post can extend it to Erev also, and the miyot can be kofa the merubin, and therefore I'm a shutif even though I didn't do it midas. There's a special halacha of shutfis that it happens automatically. That's why you have to pay taxes, right? Because you're a shutif, you're a partner in the government, in the right. We're all part of a big thing. I disagree with President Obama about many things. I disagree with. Right? Whatever the local government is, still, I'm willing to pay taxes, I'm a shutif. Yeah, now I'll take your question.
How can a person be obligated to support something? Like, for the ARF, that's kind of bothering me, because, like, I understand that everything compared to a whole of it, and that's their property, but I personally feel and hold that the ARF is not kosher, and how can I support people who are going
again, to so Shulchan Aruch assumes, again, the specifics of, like, this community Erev is on tape like 1,000 times talking about that. That's not a question. But generally speaking, we assume that an Erev is a legitimate community need. If someone says, I don't want to use the Erev, so that's your business, b'hamachmir yachmir la'atzmai. Keep your chumrah to yourself, and you're still mechayev to chip in. That's a general halacha. Now, in our communities, I have to admit, the type of Erev is technically a little bit different than it used to be, for a number of halachic reasons. It's not an exact analogy, although I think the analogy does hold up. When they're talking about Erev, they're talking about collecting bread from everybody. Like, I have a box of matzahs up in the shul, that's the Erev. So the answer is, again, that's why our Erev might be different than most. But generally speaking, I think, with the exception of a few who are the most staunch people, let's say someone, Chas v'Shalom, ends up with an item in their pocket on Shabbos, right? And they're walking outside. The person doesn't use the Erev. You know what the person would probably say? Baruch Hashem, at least there's a Mount Sinai Erev, and according to some people, I didn't violate Shabbos. That's pretty much what people would say. With the exception of the most staunch people, again, we could go back and forth, but I think the vast majority of sane people realize that I want to be machmir, not to carry. That's my chumrah. But the Erev, just like, again, but the fact is, everyone would agree, right, that the mikvah you should contribute to. No? If you're a single person and you don't use the mikvah, but contribute anyway. It's a community need. You're part of a community. You're a shutif. Contribute to the mikvah.
I understand. I'm just wondering, where do you draw the line between, like, supporting something
that you feel it. So again, in most cases, I would assume that 99% of the people are not entitled to an opinion. Most people don't have great expertise in Hilchos Erevin. Why don't people use the Erev? Because my rabbi doesn't use the Erev. Right? So they're like clichéing. They're reflecting some opinion that someone else has. Right? So again, if you're a Kli Rishon person, you're entitled to say, okay, again, it's a longer conversation. There's a lot to do. Maybe we could...
Assure an extremism.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's such a secret. I'm not so into that.
We
could talk about that. Maybe next year, Parshas Pinchas.
What?
Okay, so it's defined by where I live. If I live in Schnippeshuk, I should contribute to the Schnippeshuk and mikvah. But I live in Washington Heights, is one mikvah contribute. Again, my guess is like my guess is that with all due mechila to you, I don't think you really have such an opinion about the Arab. You're reflecting what others say. Again, I'm just reporting what it says in classical poskim. The application of this to our community, of course, yeah. As what? So all of these, the answer is yes, but it's Maaser Ksavim in what we spoke about as being a secondary charity, right? In other words, the primary Maaser Ksavim is for, according to Tosfos, poor people, according to the Midrash Tanhuma, Talmud Torah. That's primary Maaser Ksavim. Everything beyond that is secondary Maaser Ksavim. Again, and how we deal with that issue in terms of whether we divided up our Maaser Ksavim money or whether we give all of it to the primary, we spoke about that last week and in previous weeks also. Just very, very quickly, mikvah is an important staka, right? That's what we have over here. What comes first, giving money to the local yeshiva or giving money to the mikvah? So I would say this is a no-brainer. Of course the yeshiva comes first, no? What do you say? Talmud Torah, highest priority, right? Highest priority. Talmud Torah and Chol Emanim. Beneath that is, right, what do we say? There's shul and there's poor people, right? And Hachnasas Kala between poor people and shul, etc. But Talmud Torah should be the highest. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, interestingly. There are two tshuvas in the Moshe. Reb Moshe, in one of his tshuvas, writes that in Chelek Choshen Mishpatim in Membeis, Reb Moshe writes that he thinks mikvah is a priority over shul. Better give the money to mikvah ahead of giving money to the shul. That's what Moshe says. Why? So he writes as follows. The Gemara says, I'm allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to get married. And if I can sell a Sefer Torah to get married, the Beis Shmuel writes at the beginning of Evin Ezra in Siman Aleph, that I could sell Sefer Torah even not only to get married, but to have additional children. There's a mitzvah of Sheves, not just a mitzvah of Pur Revu, to have additional children. I could sell a Sefer Torah for that also. And therefore, I'm allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for mikveh construction. Because without the mikveh, right, an Orthodox couple ain't going to have children. No? So you could sell the Sefer Torah for mikveh construction. Oh, so according to Rav Moshe, that's absolutely right, providing there is no other mikveh within the general vicinity. Meaning to say, there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote over here to Rabbi Pesach Raymond. Right, any of you went to, right? Oh, right. So Rabbi Pesach Raymond was the Rav, according to Moshe, of Brunswick. I think he's the Rav of East Brunswick.
New Brunswick.
But Moshe says he's the rabbi of Brunswick. So if Moshe in this tshuva basically says, you know what? You don't have a mikveh yet in New Brunswick. You want to know, do you build a school first in mikveh? Since there's a mikveh in Elizabeth, and it's not that far, the only time you can't go to Elizabeth is on Friday night. So, and for a Friday night, Moshe assumes that the people have enough Yerushalayim, they won't do Aveiras, just not going to the mikveh one night. That's how he writes in the tshuva. So therefore, Right? But Moshe says that it's a higher priority to build what's now called the Rabbi Pesach Reimin Yeshiva. Right? It's a higher priority to build the yeshiva over a mikvah. But if there's no mikvah at all, then mikvah is the highest priority. There's a book I have at home written by Rabbi David Miller, not Rabbi David Miller of YU. There was a Rabbi David Miller in Oakland who wrote a book in the 1920s, early 1930s. He was very bothered that people weren't using the mikvah. And he was a plumber. So he came up with ideas how everybody can build a mikvah in their own home. And basically his idea is the funniest book in the world. He writes that there's a sefer that came out, the Aruch HaShulchan, and it's such a terrible machmir. He writes the mikvah has to be so big, but really the mikvah only has to be like this big. Basically he makes a mikvah very small, and his conclusion was the average bathtub counts as a mikvah. His conclusion was that you could use regular city water for a mikvah, you just had to buy a special plug for him for $5, and you'd have a own mikvah in your own house. He was a tremendous tzaddik. Rav Kook called him a tzaddik. Right, Rav Kook didn't call that many people a tzaddik. Rav Kook knew one when he saw one. Rav Kook says that this Reb David Miller is a tremendous tzaddik. So in Reb David Miller's book called The Secret of the Jew, right, he has like little pictures, a picture of how you could have a mikvah inconspicuously located in your own bedroom. He also has a picture of a Sefer Torah and a shul. He says, and you should sell your shul and sell your Sefer Torah to build a mikvah because it's more important. Taka, he's right. Taki, he's right, but it's just a very funny book. He has like a picture of a Sefer Torah. I should have brought it in to show it to you. He has a picture of like a Sefer Torah. He says, and this is what you should sell for a mikvah. Okay, whatever. So, b'kitzur hama'aseh, mikvah seems to be a higher priority than a shul. But Talmud Torah trumps mikvah if the people have some access to a mikvah, even if it's a mikvah in a different town. Right, that is basically the conclusion of Rav Moshe. If there's no access to a different mikvah, so then not to violate an aveira of, right, violating mikvah would be such a serious thing, so then mikvah would trump everything. Pikuach nefesh obviously trumps everything. That's the basic lesson. That's Bekuach Nefesh. It says in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel, Korega Shema'achir Liftos HaShavuyim, on the last page, Sif Gimel, any minute I delay Pidyon Shavuyim, Hevi Ki'ilu Shefech Domim, I'm like a murderer. Pidyon Shavuyim comes first. Okay. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch also that if I collected money, even if I collected money for Talmud Torah, but the Goyim are coming around and the Goyim might take Jews captive and I could buy them off. Right, this isn't the way it works by us, but that's the way it used to work. You can buy them up. So take the money that you collected for Talmud Torah and give it to save those Jews. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Beautiful. Those are the Shloshim Pshitim LaHegmon. Now I'm paying 30 of a certain coin to the general every year so that he doesn't chap us, because that's considered Hatzalas Nefashos. So that's what it says. So Pinyon Shvuyim, we assume, is the highest priority. Frek the Taz, a question. The Taz asks as follows. Taz says, the Gemara at the end of the first pack of Megillah, Amar Rav Yosef, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef, Hatzalas Nefashos. How come if I collect money for Talmud Torah, I use it for Pidyon Shvuyim or for Pikuach Nefesh? For the Gemara tells me that Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzalas Nefashos, no? Right? How do I know that? Because originally Mordechai is counted as number 4. And then after Mordechai became an officer and he didn't have time to learn anymore, he goes down in the list. He's now number 5. What's the pshat? Because when Mordechai, even though Mordechai is doing Hatzalas Nefashos, since Mordechai is, right, an officer of the king, he's saving all the whole Jewish people over there, but still, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mehatzalas Nefashos, that's what the Gemara learns in Mordechai, beautiful Gemara here in Megillah. So the Taz asks a question. Taz says, one second, if Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzalas Nefashos, so how come the money that I collected from Talmud Torah I use for Pekuach Nefesh, Talmud Torah should be a higher priority? So the Taz works very hard on this kasha, and the Taz basically quotes two answers. Quotes the Drisha's answer. The Drisha says it depends if the Talmud Torah could be done without you or not. If there's going to be no learning without you, so then Talmud Torah beats Pekuach Nefesh. That's what the Drisha says. The Taz gets very angry at that. He says, no, Pekuach Nefesh has to beat everything. Rather, what the Gemara means is that if I have a choice to be osik in Talmud Torah or in Pekuach Nefesh, I have to be osik in Pekuach Nefesh. But in hindsight, the time that I spent learning Torah has a greater value in Shamayim than the Pekuach Nefesh time. It's a little bit of a hard idea to swallow, no? Of course, I should do Pekuach Nefesh. Of course, take the money that was collected for Talmud Torah, right? Give it for Pekuach Nefesh. But, ultimately, right, those hours that you spent learning is of greater value than the Pekuach Nefesh. It's a very interesting idea. Like, certain times you're potter from learning, but I once had a Rebbe who had the line to me, Reb David Kav, and there's a Rebbe in Karim B'Yavna. So Reb David's line is that, of course, if you go to Hafganah, you're potter from learning, but how are you going to know the Tosfos? That's the way he used to say it. How are you going to know the Tosfos if you go to Hafganah? That was his approach. So that's the question that the Taz has and the Taz's answer. There is another answer that is quoted on the page in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shevet HaLevi has a small tshuva doing with that other answer, but time is late, so I'll let you read that on your own. Basically, in terms of conclusions from what we discussed tonight, it would seem that moving bottom up, according to Shulchan Aruch, Tztaka la'aniyim is the lowest level. My community tztaka fund, unless it's earmarked, lowest level tztaka la'aniyim. Above that is mikvah, other tzarchei ha'ir, stuff that is part of the community as shutfis. Above that, according to Shulchan Aruch, is shul. Above that is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah may be for young kids only, that we mentioned. Above that, according to the Stei Chemed, is for Cholim, and Pidyon Shavuyim is the greatest of all. I think this is the conclusion, but this takes a long time to put together. I hope I'm right, but I thank you for coming. Again? The story, okay.